Morning. We'll go ahead and get started. Thanks all for coming bright and early. Shiny, happy faces. My name is Kylie Tyler. I'm a third-year doctoral student at Oregon State University, and today I'll be speaking to you about physical fitness and obesity, health disparities in children with autism spectrum disorder. A campaign recently launched by Nike ACSM and partners titled Designed to Move, indicates that this generation of children is expected to live 5 years less than their parents. Now, we as health professionals can help our children move and also ensure that physical activity initiatives such as this one are inclusive in nature and encompass children with autism spectrum disorder. Now, autism spectrum disorder, otherwise known as ASD, is characterized by impairments in social and communicative domains, in the presence of repetitive and restrictive behavior, interests, and activities. The current prevalence rate of children with ASD is 1 in 68. However, recent evidence indicates that 1 in 50 school-age children are diagnosed with ASD. It's the fastest-growing neurodevelopmental disability amongst children, and there's more boys diagnosed than there are girls. So what we know from recent research is that the physical fitness levels and obesity levels of children with ASD in comparison to typically developing peers are actually lower, in that there's a higher prevalence of obesity and that children with ASD are 2 times more likely to be diagnosed with obesity than typically developing children. And they currently stand at a rate that 40% of children with ASD are obese. However, research can still benefit from looking at a sample of children that focuses on school-age children, which reflects that 1 in 50 prevalence rate, indicating the age group from 9 to 18. It can also benefit from taking a sample of children that encompasses both male and female, and also one that focuses on that health-related model of physical fitness. Health-related physical fitness derives from the concept that habitual physical activity influences the physiological and functional state of the individual, and it encompasses components such as cardiorespiratory fitness, muscular fitness, flexibility, and body composition. As seen from this diagram from Ortega, we can see that physical fitness is a marker of health. However, it's also a positive contributor of health in typically developing children. As seen here, physical fitness, specifically cardiorespiratory and muscular fitness, has been proven to improve obesity, skeletal health, even mental health in typically developing children. So what we're really looking to do is extend previous research, again, by focusing in on a sample of children between the ages of 9 to 18 that encompass males and females and that really hone in on those health-related physical fitness components. But ultimately, we're asking the question, what are the physical fitness levels of school-age children with ASD in comparison to typically developing peers? The purpose was to examine children ages 9 to 18 with ASD in comparison to typically developing peers. Our study exemplified a descriptive cross-sectional design where group represented our independent variable. We had 2 groups. Group 1 consisted of children diagnosed with ASD. Group 2 were typically developing peers. Our dependent variables were a series of health-related physical fitness components, ranging from aerobic capacity to muscular strength, flexibility, body composition, and then I'll also discuss some physical activity patterns. We recruited school-age children between the ages of 9 to 18 from local community support groups, school districts, and hospitals around the Corvallis and surrounding communities. We had 13 children with ASD participate in this particular study and 11 typically developing peers. We invited children to the Youth and Children Disabilities Lab, home to Oregon State University, for a 2 to 4 hour assessment session that could be scheduled over the course of 1 to 2 days. At that time, we obtained consent, assent, and some demographic information from the families. We administered a diagnostic assessment confirming previous parental report autism diagnosis, as well as a developmental assessment, and then we administered a series of physical fitness assessments. Now, the physical fitness assessments that we administered were primarily field-based assessments, in that we wanted to ensure that our participants were comfortable with the assessments and that they had seen a lot of these in their previous physical education classroom, and that the environment was welcoming and supportive, And it was definitely useful at this point in contributing to the body of literature, and that this is just the beginning stages. So, for aerobic capacity, we administered the 20-meter multi-stage shuttle run. Now, if you remember back to your physical education days, this is where the child would shuttle from one set of cones to the next, which were spaced about 20 meters apart. And overhead, you had an automated beep test that indicated when the child should be at one point to the next. With this, we were able to obtain maximal shuttle run speed, and with the child's age, we were able to calculate a predicted VO2 max value. Now, we found that pairing the participant with a workout buddy of sorts, which our undergraduate exercise physiologist student served as, really helped pace the children and kind of comprehend what was going on during the assessment. It also helped motivate them. For muscular strength, we obtained an upper body measurement of hand grip strength. For that, we utilized the Jamar hydraulic hand dynamometer. The children started with a 90-degree flexion in that arm and squeezed forcefully to max value while they extended that arm fully. We then administered the flexibility assessment, the old school sit and reach here. We found that the children were very comfortable this assessment. The biggest issue with that was just taking the shoes on and off before and after. So, for body composition, we obtained height and weight of each participant, and with that, we calculated body mass index. And for our physical activity measure, we used accelerometry. Data was then reduced into total average daily time spent in physical activity. And today, I'm going to talk a little bit just about that moderate to vigorous physical activity. We also administered parent self-report logs so that the families could indicate when the monitor was not worn, which they were directed to take off during swimming or bathing or even sleeping to help with that data reduction. So for our data analysis, we utilized the Mann-Whitney U-test. With this, we were able to look at the physical fitness variables independently and see if there was a significant difference across groups. For that, we looked at the predicted VO2 max value, which was a representation of our aerobic capacity, the muscular strength, flexibility, and BMI, and then we'll also talk through some physical activity. So starting by explaining the results, I start with a bar graph, and then I have a descriptive slide after that. So if you'd like to see anything while I jump back and forth, just raise your hand. I'd be happy to. So if you look at the aerobic capacity results, now this is that predicted VO2 max value from that 20-meter shuttle run. You can see that our male and female counterparts with ASD came in at about the same level. However, the male children diagnosed with ASD were lower than our typically developing peers, whereas all four of the groups were definitely lower than that norm value. As for our body mass index score, you can see that our males with ASD were were well above the BMI levels of their typically developing counterparts, as well as the norm. However, with females, you can see that they're more towards that underweight category, coming in well below their typically developing peers. As for our muscular strength results, both males and females with ASD were well below the norm value and well below their typically developing peers. And this is that maximum hand grip strength measured in kilograms. And as for our flexibility measure, you can see that our females with ASD were below our typically developing peers, as well as below that norm expected value. However, our males with ASD were well above our typically developing peers. As for our physical activity, again, this is daily average minutes per day spent in moderate to vigorous physical activity. As you can see here, our children with ASD were significantly lower than typically developing peers. However, both groups did meet that 2008 physical activity recommendation set by the Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans. So in conclusion, we found that children ages 9 to 18 with ASD did experience lower levels in aerobic capacity, flexibility, strength, and then even a higher level of BMI. And we also found that our physical activity levels in children with ASD were significantly lower than our typically developing peers. Some limitations of this particular investigation was that was recruitment. Corvallis, Oregon is a wonderful community that's very supportive of local research and receptive of the science that OSU shares. However, there are only so many families, and they did have to drive in anywhere from a half an hour to an hour to even participate in this particular investigation. So we found that because of scheduling purposes and driving and all that, just we didn't have as many kids as we would have liked. So that lended to our smaller sample size that you see here today. So for discussion, I wanted to touch on a couple different points. The results of this study are consistent with previous research in that we are finding weaker physical fitness values in males and females across most of your physical fitness variables. Previous research states that there are significant differences when it comes to children with ASD in comparison to their typically developing peers. However, with this particular study, we were able to really hone in on that health-related model of physical fitness and give a profile of females with ASD. Some current study findings from CYDL. In the last 6 months or so, we were able to add about 15 participants to this particular sample, and we really found things had teased out a little bit. And with that, we found significantly lower strength values in children with autism when compared to typically developing peers, as well as significantly lower levels of physical activity across most of the intensities, as well as significantly higher time spent in sedentary behavior in children with autism when compared to typically developing peers. So as for future direction and kind of touching base on those learning outcomes that I stated in my abstract, health disparities do exist in the form of particularly strength and some of the other components that we see in children with autism when compared to typically developing peers. But it's exciting in that we see that as a potential for intervention. I think really focusing in on these individual characteristics and furthering our knowledge with more research questions pertaining to children with ASD can really bring information to build population-level interventions and ensure that physical activity initiatives such as Designed to Move are inclusive in nature and truly accessible to children with ASD. I want to start by thanking my co-author, Dr. Megan McDonald, and the families that participated in this study, as well as my financial and support from the U.S. Department of Education and Oregon State General Research Fund. Thank you so much. And we can take questions. I think we're missing our moderator.
We're going to take a few questions.
Yeah, we can take a few questions. Anybody have anything? Yes, ma'am.
What do you think was happening when your girls were underweight?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I'm not quite sure. I think that that's really fuel to move forward and really kind of look at what healthy weight means in this population, whether it be over or under. And actually, that's something I'd like to look at in my dissertation here coming up. So that's great that you picked that up. Thank you. Instead of the criterion reference standards? These actually were the criterion reference standards. We took the raw values from the FitnessGram and then also the Brockport. And by using raw values, I know I didn't provide a standardized scale, but it's really important to look at these, especially with as much information as I'm given with male and female, to look at these as an individual variable. So these are all in the raw units, as you can see, flexibility here in the centimeters, and then, for example, strength in the kilograms. But that's actually an expression of that. Yeah, good question. Sure. Yeah. No, that's a wonderful question. Actually, after looking at the age distribution across groups, we found that the 11-year-old age norm was perfect fit for all of our variables, actually. So it's all based on 11-year-old, quote-unquote, norm values. Yeah, nice question.
Do you